I know I grew up in Southwest Michigan, but snow is still not one of my favorite things.
So summer is still your favorite.
I love summers. Summers in Southwest Michigan, it's the best.
My name's Johnny Reinhardt, and I've lived in Southwest Michigan most of my life. It's such a wonderful community full of so many great things, but the best part is the people, families, history, and especially the stories that make it great. And with every story, you have to start somewhere. This is Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Welcome to episode 16, and today I'm talking with Afia Latham, and I look forward to you being able to hear this conversation because I've always admired Afia. She's a wonderful person in our community, very driven, very goal-oriented, and just a really awesome person to talk to, and I learned so much about her in our short conversation that we had, and I'm sure you'll learn a lot more about her as well. So whether you know her or you're hearing this for the first time and you have no idea who she is, then you're going to probably want to be friends with her at the end of this conversation, I guarantee you. So we'll talk about her journey that has had her come to Southwest Michigan, leave Southwest Michigan, and then come back to Southwest Michigan. And she's doing some great things here. But first, let's start from the beginning with Afia Latham. Well, hello there, Afia. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
I am so glad you joined me on the podcast. I know some people that I know, when I was asking who are some great people in our community that I should talk to, and they said you. They said you are a wonderful person in our community to talk to. So I want to learn more about you. I know we've had some chats in the past about some things, but this is a good opportunity for me as well as anybody listening to kind of get to know you. So I want to know, as we start from the beginning, what's your story? Were you originally from this area or did you make your way here? What? Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago. I don't know if a lot of people know that, but I'm originally from Trinidad and Tobago. My parents are from Trinidad and they came to Andrews University.
Okay.
And my parents graduated from Andrews, and after they graduated, decided that Berrien Springs, Southwest Michigan, would be a great place to raise their family. So they settled here.
Wow.
And so I was raised in Southwest Michigan.
See, I did not know that. See, I'm already learning so much more about you. I did not know that you were originally from that area. I knew you had told me that you grew up in Berrien Springs, and you told me that, you know, and what's it like growing up in Berrien Springs? Because I know from my experience there is that it's just that there's so many different cultures that come there, and Andrews University, a major factor in bringing people from all over the world to small town Berrien Springs, which I think makes Southwest Michigan unique in that way, is that there's so many people that come here maybe for education at Andrews University, but then continue to stay and raise their children. And then, you know, like you are now the next generation that is sticking around in Southwest Michigan and doing great things. So what was it like growing up as a kid in Berrien Springs?
Absolutely. I had a great experience growing up in Berrien Springs. I graduated from Berrien Springs High School. And one of the benefits to growing up in Berrien Springs is the university. The university has brought in a lot of people from literally all over the world.
Yeah.
And they come with their families, they come with their children, and I went to school with their children. So I was exposed to students and kids and teachers and adults from all different walks of life, from all different cultures. And I look at who I am now and how I'm able to relate and to communicate with people. And I think that growing up in Berrien Springs and attending Berrien Springs Public Schools benefited to me being able to have a better understanding of people. And so that's one of my favorite things about growing up in Berrien. There isn't a culture, I think, that I haven't experienced. Mm-hmm. And that's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And so how old were you when your parents decided to come to Berrien Springs? Were you young? Do you have siblings as well?
I do. I was young. I moved to Berrien Springs when I was in the fourth grade. And before that, we were living in New York. My dad started his studies when we moved to the United States in New York, and then finished up his studies at Andrews University. I do have siblings. I'm the oldest of four. I've got two brothers and a sister.
So what was it like as a young fourth grader going from, you know, going all the way to school in Trinidad and Tobago, all the way through third grade? And then that change of, all right, guys, we're all going to move to from this this place all the way up to Michigan. Mm-hmm. What was that like? What was going through your mind? Do you remember that
yeah.
moment?
So I actually didn't go to school in Trinidad. I moved here and I wasn't when I moved here. I started school when I was in the first grade. So when I was back home, I didn't attend school. I wasn't old enough then. So I did start my education in the United States. So I don't have that experience of attending school back home.
Yeah, but at least you grew up there, so you remember your time down there, and probably your younger siblings probably remember it briefly. But did it feel like a drastic change from being down in Trinidad and Tobago and then coming to, for some people coming from a warm place to a place that has all four seasons, mm-hmm. some not as fun as others. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Absolutely. So the weather is different,
sure.
For sure. I think I'll never get used to winter. It snows every year, and I act like I've seen it for the first time every single year. I'm like, oh, it's snowing, no! And they're like, it happens every year.
Right.
But still, so there's definitely a drastic change in weather. I don't think it's something that I'll ever get used to. I love the heat, and I know I grew up in Southwest Michigan, but snow is still not one of my favorite things.
So summer is still your favorite.
I love summers. Summers in Southwest Michigan, it's the best.
Absolutely. I mean, at least you get to hang out on the beach and enjoy all that. But yeah, the snow, that's, you know, it's something you just got to deal with for a little while. And mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, you power through it and get into the spring and summer, and even the fall mm-hmm. in Southwest Michigan is a lot of fun. So your parents came here and they went to Andrews University, and then do they still live in the area?
My mom still lives in the area. My father does not live in the area.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you went to Berrien Springs and went to school there. And then where'd you go from there? What was high school for you? Did you, mm-hmm. were you into sports? Were you into theater? What was young Afia like, because I feel like you're a very bubbly personality. Mm-hmm. You love talking to new people and meeting new people. So what was it mm-hmm. like for you growing up then?
Yeah. So in high school, I didn't do sports. I was in one play, Annie, and that's only because my best friend forced me to join with her. but I was in one play, and I was in Business Professionals of America.
Okay.
So I was those types of programs expressed. I had a lot of interest in those programs. So it taught you about writing letters and how to have communications and how to put on a presentation and why anyone in high school would enjoy something like that. Who knows? But I loved it. And hey, here I am. So it meant something to me.
Yeah, you learned those skills and kept with it.
So that was what I was a part of in high school, Business Professionals of America. I'm not a big sports person. I'll attend games and support my friends, but that was the one organization that I was a part of.
So tell me about this, your friend forcing you to be an Annie. What was it that she did to convince you? Was it she needed, you know, her friend to be in it or thought you'd be good at it? What was that like?
I think she just wanted her friend to be in it with her. It's her passion, not mine. We're still best friends to this day, and she's a news reporter now in Florida. So she likes to be on the front stage, and mm-hmm. that's her thing, and she's good at it. So I think she just wanted support and wanted me to be there by her side.
But you got forced into it. But what was that experience like? Because I know sometimes if you get forced into a situation, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of huff and puff a little bit going into it. But mm-hmm. did you enjoy it just in an experience after you started to get into things? Because Annie, I mean, everybody knows Annie. It's a fun show to be a part of. And some people say that's one of their greatest experiences if they were in a uh-huh. play like that or a musical like that. So what was that experience like?
Mm-hmm. So it was actually a lot of fun. And so I did enjoy it. Practices were great. being backstage and just kind of seeing the process of how that all works is a lot of fun. Dress rehearsal is fun, makeup. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed the process of preparing for it. I think it was presenting and knowing that there was some group of people behind the curtain that were going to see me.
Sure.
That's the part that scared the crap out of me. So the whole process and practicing and, you know, presenting maybe just only in front of like 5-7 teachers so that they could critique us. That was okay. Right. But it was when they pulled the curtains back and I'm like, oh.
But if you think about it, that's exactly what you were doing with Business Professionals of America, because I know from my experience, I didn't do that in high school, but when I was in college, mm-hmm. we would have kids from all over the area come to the school and mm-hmm. compete in so many different aspects, mm-hmm. you know, presentations and things like that. So it's, if you think about it, it's kind of theater, because you have to impress someone, but you also mm-hmm. have to, you know, get rid of some of those fears. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think I would rather do a performance on stage than have a job interview.
Yeah,
I think that makes me more nervous having a job interview one-on-one or, you know, two or three people interviewing me than mm-hmm. being able to be on stage with the lights on my face.
Right.
And however many people mm-hmm. in the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I feel more comfortable with a job interview because I'm more in control of the process. And
sure.
I have a good idea of the expectation of the person that's sitting across from me. But trying to please a room full of people, it's like, oh, it's too many.
Right.
Yeah, it's too many.
Well, people. At least in a job interview, you don't have to sing and dance.
See?
I mean, That's maybe in certain jobs, they may ask you to go above and beyond in some aspect of that. But right. what would you say is the biggest challenge that you've faced in life so far?
Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge, which is probably also a reward, I would say, is parenting, being a parent. Yeah. Being a parent, it's one of the biggest challenges for me. Also, maybe because I'm also a single parent, it's sure. also a challenge. It's tough. It's tough dealing with four different personalities, and they're growing and they're changing, and there's hormones. And when you think you've got it, someone's a teenager now and something has changed. So I think parenting has been the biggest challenge, but also the greatest reward for me. It's very humbling. Yeah. They keep me on my toes. Even though I'm reminded that I'm still not cool, but I know they keep me on my toes.
Well, I want to kind of go off on a tangent here, because yeah. You bring up your kids, and that's one conversation that we've had. And one of the first meetings that I think you and I had was I was out doing a broadcast for your business, actually. Mm-hmm. And we were out in the parking lot and we had this big boombox looking thing. Mm-hmm. And then you walked up, and also actually, I think your kids walked up mm-hmm. before you got there. And I didn't know who these kids were, where they uh-huh. came from, but they acted like they were coming to a rock concert or something like that, because they were like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Are you a celebrity? Can I get your autograph?
Yes. And
your son asked me for my autograph. And to me, still to this day, it's always weird mm-hmm. when people would ask something like that, but mm-hmm. we were just talking about that the other day, uh-huh. and you said he kept that for a little while.
He did. So my son thinks you're so awesome. I remember that day, and he's like, Mom, please take me over by the truck, because you had your truck and it's yep. wrapped and there's speakers. He's like, please, let's go over there. And I'm like, all right, give me a minute. And then he's like, I gotta get his autograph. I'm like, do you even know who he is? And he's like, I gotta have it. He didn't even know who you were.
Yeah.
And then he was so excited. He's like, oh man, do you think I could get money for this?
No, definitely not. It actually, the paper lost value at that point, as soon as the pen hit the ink or pen hit the paper. Yeah. But that was what's so funny. And your kids, like you said, have a lot of personality. And mm-hmm. do they get that from you? Are you, like you said, you have four different personalities. Which mm-hmm. one of your kids would you say is the most like you?
I would say that they're all very similar to me in far as personality and how we show up. My children are outgoing, outspoken. They're kind. They're adventurous. If I had to choose one that was probably most like me, I'd probably say it's my oldest daughter, Zaria. She's 16. And we're both very similar in how we communicate and some of the things that we think are funny and jokes and things like that. So my oldest is more
now,
than me.
Is she getting into the same kind of stuff that you were when you were a kid? Does she have aspirations of like business professionals, or is she wanting to get into something like theater or something like that?
Mm-hmm. She's a cheerleader. She does sideline and competitive cheer. And she is into business, and she's done a number of different things where she's trying to figure out what she likes and what she wants to do. But she's got that entrepreneurial spirit in her, which is pretty cool. And she's very independent. So we're very similar in that way. She got her first job at Silver Beach Pizza. So she's working there this summer. So super excited. And she did that all by herself. She applied for it, and I was just a driver. She went for her interview last week, and they called her back, and she's like, "I got a job."
That is so awesome.
That's awesome.
What was your first job?
So my first job was sales. I did door-to-door sales. I sold books.
Oh, you sold books.
I sold books door-to-door. So it was, I went to Alabama.
Okay.
And I sold books door-to-door. And it was like motivational books, like remember like Chicken Soup for the Soul? Those books? I don't know if they still have those, but yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. But I sold books door to door, and my first 2 days were terrible. And then after that, I was like, okay, either you're going to be confident or you're not. And something just clicked in me. And that's when I learned that I was really good at sales.
Yeah.
And I was in 11th grade.
Wow. So this is what, 15, 20 years ago? So, I mean, wasn't one, that just seems odd that selling books door to door, I've never heard of something like this. I've known, you know, everything from vacuums to knives or things like that. But was it something that was happening locally that you said, you know what, because that seems like an odd first job of going door to door selling books.
Absolutely. I mean, it is odd. So one of my friends was doing it, and then she's like, it's so much fun. You get to sell books door to door. But then you also get to stay, in apartments, and, there's a pool there. We get to hang out after work. And it just seemed really like this dorm life kind of thing.
Sure.
So I was like, sure, I'll try it. So I went to Alabama, for the summer, and that's what I did.
Oh, so this is like a almost like a summer program thing that you did. So where'd you go to college? Did you go to college down south?
I did. So I went to Oakwood University, and I was there for a year, and then learned that it wasn't a good fit for me. And then after that, I had moved to New York, and I went to Sanford Brown Institute. And that's where I started my career, I would say.
Okay.
I did medical billing and coding, figured I wanted to do something in healthcare and didn't know where I wanted to start. And college didn't seem like the right thing at the time. So that's what I did. I moved to New York on a whim.
Wow.
And I did a certificate in medical billing and coding, and I started working with Beth Israel Medical Hospital, and that's where I started my professional career.
Wow. And this was near New York City, or was it right in the city?
Right in the city.
Wow. So what was that like? Because you went from Trinidad and Tobago, Berrien Springs, Michigan, Alabama for a little bit, and then New York City. What was that experience like of going from those places? And then, because I don't think anybody is prepared for big city life. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you? And what did that feel like?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely wasn't prepared. It's very different from growing up in Berrien Springs. You know, here we're very friendly and you can say hi as you're walking.
Yeah.
Or you're in a supermarket, it's okay to make small talk, maybe with the person in front or behind you. They don't do that in New York. I learned that real quick. So that was a shock to me as far as community and how they communicate. Everyone kind of keeps to themselves. And as you live there, you know, you learn it's a safety thing. So it makes sense. But that was a huge adjustment to me in just having to keep to myself in that way, because I'm very friendly. And they'd be like, you can't talk to people on the train. I'm like, why not? They're like, they're going to follow you. You're going to get robbed. I'm like, no. But it's very different trying to adjust to living in the city.
Yeah,
it is. And how commuting and parking.
How long did you? Yeah, exactly. Or the not parking or not finding I feel like everybody, if I ever lived in a big city, I wouldn't have a vehicle because of public transportation. But I think I would spend years trying to find a parking space.
Right.
And I don't want to spend that much time doing that.
You get home and it takes you 30 minutes to get in the house because you're circling the block trying to find a park.
Absolutely. So how long were you in New York City?
10 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And so
for 10 years.
10 years. And so this is all working at the same place? Or you
correct. Working at the same place.
Wow. And then what brought you, how long after that, where did you go from New York City?
Yeah. So I was living there. I got married and had four kids. And then in 2013, decided to get divorced and then moved back home to Berrien Springs. And that's how I came back. That's how I ended up back in Berrien Springs.
And so what did you bring with you, obviously, besides your children and your belongings? But what experience did you bring and that now changed the way that did things change the way you looked at things after having those experience of the I guess, big city life? How did that change the way you looked at being back home in Berrien Springs?
Yeah. So one thing I love about Berrien Springs and Southwest Michigan, it's peaceful. And, you know, what peace looks like to everybody is different. And even when I used to come back home when I was in New York and I'd come back to visit my parents, there's something about the area that just kind of, you have no choice but to slow down.
Sure.
And so when I came back, this area definitely just brought me peace and it felt right. And the kids just loved it. And I knew that it was the right place to be. So does that answer your question about what it did for me?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And so what made you go back to Berrien Springs, though? I mean, did you say this is the next stop that I want to take my family and be with my family that's still in Berrien Springs instead of, say, going to another big city or something like that? You thought, is that what kind of shaped your decision?
So I was thinking about the kids and not so much as myself as I was getting ready to start going through the process of divorce. So it's more of, okay, what's the next best step for my family? What's the next best step for the kids? And I wasn't so much thinking about, okay, what's going to work for me, but what's going to work for them? And so I looked at the way that I was brought up and where I was raised and how it benefited me. So I knew that it would be a good fit for them. So the area, the schools are great. The area is safe, and raising your children in the city, for me, it wasn't going to be the best thing for me. So I knew that Berrien Springs was going to be the safest, most peaceful place for them. So that was the reason for me choosing to come back to this area. And then also, as I'm thinking, okay, you know, I want them to be able to communicate and to be able to get along well. And, you know, what can I do to start preparing them for the future? Because our goal as parents is to make sure that we're raising our kids so that they can one day become productive citizens. And I think that the Berrien Springs schools helped me with that. Mm-hmm. So it's okay deciding where I want to go to school. I mean, where I want to live. The kids have to be in a good school district. And so that it was really the kids, as I was making my decision as to where I needed to go, it's what's best for them. And then I'll just figure it out for myself.
Do you still have trouble? Do you have trouble slowing down?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
from the, is it because of the experience of the fast paced, more city lifestyle, or mm-hmm. have you always had that, you know, drive to just move fast and do that?
Yes. I have that drive to just move fast. So I'm always on the go, and what's the next thing, and let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. So that's me naturally.
Do you think that is because, you know, people always say the entrepreneurial spirit, what does that mean to you, of an entrepreneurial spirit? What is that thing that drives you into saying, you know, instead of, you know, working for a business, I want to be the one that is driving the business and being mm-hmm. part of something like that? What what is the entrepreneurial spirit for you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first, I'll say one thing that I really enjoy is freedom, and the freedom to be able to love my kids. So I have three goals. In 2013, when I moved back, I set three goals for myself, and that was to stay close to God, love my kids, and build a career. And as I was thinking about building a career, am I going to be working for someone, or am I going to be wanting to do something for myself? And freedom is something that I knew that I needed in order to be able to love my kids well. So I knew that working for myself was what was going to be needed, because it's four kids. They've got all these different activities and you're not always going to be able to get that time off. And, you know, as a single parent, I didn't want to be absent. So that my things just started turning for me when I came back, as far as what do I want to do with my life? Where am I going? So that entrepreneurial spirit is really driven by the need to have that freedom in order to stay close to my goal of how are you going to be able to love your kids well? And for me, that's the freedom of being able to work for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. And what would you say absolutely excites you when you wake up in the morning?
Things that excite me. I love my job. I love my job and I love what I do. And what excites me is being able to put people to work. So the cool thing about what we do is, you know, people are coming and their lights are getting shut off, and they can't pay their bills, or something's going on with their car, or they need to plan for a trip, and you need money to do all that stuff. And what makes me feel good is I'm a part of the process that's helping someone accomplish those goals. And that keeps me going. That makes me happy. And
yeah. Well, and sort of back to the musical, I guess, references is that like Fiddler on the Roof, you're like the matchmaker. So you're and that's is that a challenge to you? I mean, is that something you find that excites you too, is being able to be that sort of matchmaker and find the right personalities to sort of fit together with the, you know, in work and in life to be in general? Does that matchmaker kind of mentality work for you?
It does work for me. And I think that's one of the things that I'm really good at, and it kind of comes naturally from me. And I love having conversations. I love talking with people. I love learning about them. I've gotten pretty good at just asking the right questions in order to pull out what's really in someone to help make that a really good match. Because people will come and just say, hey, I need a job. So what kind of job? You want anything? Because I got to pay my rent. I'm going to be kicked out by next week. And it's not about just finding you a job, but also finding you something that's going to make you happy in the process. And I love being a matchmaker. I love asking the right questions and finding out, well, what do you really want out of life? And okay, you need to pay your bills and you also want to be happy. How can this be a win-win for both of us? I want you to be happy and I want you to like what you're doing. And I also want you to be learning as you're going through this journey, because life's a journey. And I think we should always be intentional with what we get ourselves involved in. And I tell people, you spend a lot of time at work and you have to love what you're doing. So tell me about your future goals and what you want and where you want to go. And I'm able to help tie in, well, when I help you find this job, just know that you're going to be learning these skills, and these skills are going to be transferable and be able to help support you in your long-term goals. So I love being a part of that matchmaker process and just really kind of helping them connect what they're doing now to how it's going to benefit them in the future, instead of just thinking it's just a job and I got to pay a bill that's due by next week.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot more than that. And like you even have looked at in your life of the that entrepreneurial spirit, or the focusing on those three goals that you set, in having those things as the more of the foundation than, well, I need to make this much money and do this much work, because if you do all that, you lose focus and you may have to make sacrifices that, you know, are the more important things of the life, the faith, and, you know, just all that combined. So I think that is another key aspect that, and probably lesson that you sometimes have to teach people that you talk to every day. And so what would you say is a good piece of advice that maybe you got that you have passed on to your children?
A good piece of advice. To tell the truth.
To tell the truth all the time?
Tell the truth. Be honest. And I think what I've learned, and I try to explain this to the kids, is that sometimes the truth is uncomfortable, and it may make you feel uncomfortable, or the person that's receiving that truth may not feel settled with it, but it's the right thing to do. So you always want to do the right thing to do and tell the truth, even if it doesn't feel good or it makes you feel uncomfortable.
Wow. That's tough, even for me.
You build better relationships that way.
Yeah, that's totally true. Yeah. So what is something that somebody may not know about you or should know about you?
Something that someone may not know about me. I guess something fun. I love music. I love reggae music. And I think everyone has like these self-care things that they do that kind of keeps them calm and keeps them grounded. And I'm a huge fan of like reggae and soca music. And I listen to that often. And it's one of those things that if I'm working on a project and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get through this, or I need to brainstorm about something, something about that music just calms me and gets the creative juices flowing. So I'm a reggae music fan, and something about me, I'm very passionate about women. I'm very passionate about working with youth. I have a women's group. We meet every Friday, and I meet with youth every other week. And those are two things that are just that I'm passionate about. I love working with women and listening to their stories and helping to be a part of the process of helping them be their true selves. And it's something that I just kind of do in my spare time, I guess.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of like your hobby then, or I guess your side thing that you enjoy doing is, it's more of the things that I think almost kind of connect back to your regular job, but it's more of a little bit more natural and organic that way.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think what makes it different from being on the job and kind of just more in my home when I'm meeting with women, there's always this backstory to why there was a gap in my employment, why I can't keep my job. And women go through a lot, and there are a number of different issues that women are having to deal with. And I want to be a part of the process of helping them to overcome some of those issues, because I think healthy women help with keeping our community going.
Absolutely.
And our community healthy. So it's important to make sure that our women are okay.
Yeah. No, that's wonderful. If you were to title an autobiography for your life, what would you title it right now?
Oh, that's a good question. Staying close.
I like that. I like that because that totally, I think, encompasses, not even just our conversation, but things I've learned about your life. Staying close. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. I think that's the best title I've heard so far.
Thanks.
it took some thought, obviously. And I know sometimes people overthink things sometimes, mm-hmm. but it's just having that clear focus sometimes and taking that step back is always important for people. And so how would you say your three goals have been going? How would you grade yourself on those three goals? Are you staying good on all those?
Yeah. Stay close to God, love my kids, and build a career. And in the very beginning, I was having a challenge because I wanted to be perfect in all of sure. us, It's like, how do I have this great relationship with God and make sure that I'm having devotion and spending time sure. with Him? And, I got to spend time with my kids and take them on trips, and we got to do all these little things and make sure I'm home for dinner and be great at work and build this career for myself. And I was struggling because I was trying to be perfect in all of them. And then I was starting to fail. But as of now, I would say that I'm doing a lot better with all three goals, and that I'm hitting all of them. And I would say I'm hitting all of them because I have a better understanding of what balance means and what balance looks like. And so my first goal, staying close to God, what does that mean? And it's like, well, the complaint to God used to be, well, geez, how can I be great at work? And how can I also be a great mom? Yeah. I'm having issues with this. But when you stay close to God, and I'm trusting that in the moment, whatever it is that I need to do, it's the right thing to do in that moment. So there are times where being a mom there comes a time mm-hmm. where loving my children, it's going to take up a lot more time than the time that I'm going to be using to invest right. in work. And then sometimes there are times where I just invest more in work and then not give as much attention to the kids. But mm-hmm. Balance to me is just being obedient to what God wants me to do in that moment.
I think that's the thing, is that is they're not three separate goals, and almost you have either a fourth or fifth goal of mm-hmm. Find the balance, or maybe another goal is slow down every once in a while, mm-hmm. and that those are those things that will then give focus and time to make all of that stuff kind of work together. Well, Afia, I've had a wonderful time learning more about you and having this conversation. I know you said you were nervous in the beginning. How do you feel now? Because I feel like the tables have turned and I'm like doing the job interview with you. So I say you got the job, but how do you feel about it?
I feel fine. I'm not nervous. You're easy to talk to, Johnny. You've got a gift. You make people feel comfortable.
That's definitely one of my goals all the time. Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much for sharing your stories with me.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan. Special thanks to our guests for telling their stories. And if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear more. Please reach out to me by emailing letstalk@wsjm.com. That's letstalk@wsjm.com. You can listen to this podcast and all the episodes wherever you like to listen to podcasts, and be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. This is a Midwest Family production. I'm Johnny Reinhart. Join me next time for another great story on Start From the Beginning, Stories from Southwest Michigan.